I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, 3:36 on Monday with Isaac and Souk. Sad to report that Trailblazers owner Paul Allen has passed away at the age of 65. Jason Quick last segment with his perspective. Now a man who knew Paul Allen, I think, fairly well. Mike Barrett, now with Portland Diamond Project, of course, former Trailblazers broadcaster. He joins us now. Mike, my friend.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah. My first question to Jason is the same to you. Were there any indications? I mean, I know he announced this a couple weeks ago that he was battling this. It was only 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Did you know that he was maybe more sick than we were led to believe, or no?
No. In fact, I got a couple of texts a little while ago, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes ago, and people asking if I knew anything, and I'm not really in touch with that world anymore, but no, I had no idea. You know, I mean, I was around, you know, of course, the first time that he battled non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And I remember it took a toll on him physically, and remembered seeing him oftentimes, you know, away from the game, and had heard that it was a difficult challenge for him. But after this announcement and following, you know, so immediately following the announcement, it's just stunning to actually, I'm just trying to get my, like everybody else, I'm sure, trying to get my mind around this. It's just a hard reality to come to grips with.
Yeah. I mean, it really is shocking. He's, you know, only 65, but he had battled cancer a few times. You having worked for him for a long time and in that, you know, behind the scenes with Vulcan and the Trailblazers, what did he mean to the franchise? Can you put that into perspective for people through the Trailblazers?
Just amazing. I mean, you think about in the 90s, I mean, I don't, and a lot of people will be saying this, but it's true. I don't know if that team would be here if not for him, not only in the 90s, but then even in, you know, there was the situation in 04 with the arena situation where it was a potential bankruptcy and all. I remember being on a road trip and really talking to a couple of executives, and there was some serious concern about the team perhaps moving. And I, not only did he save the Seahawks in Seattle, as everybody knows, he was very responsible for saving the Blazers in Portland. And that was closer than people think. And I know people have told that story, but I just think it, you know, him doing what he did at the time that he did it was vital to that franchise. And so it's, I don't know what the coming days are going to be like. And I know people are already speculating, and we used to speculate that, you know, just in the walls of the organization, when we would talk about what if anything ever happened to him, what would happen to the team. And, you know, I saw the statement by his sister Jody, and there was always the thought that, you know, she was never really around the games and never really seemed to have a whole lot of interest. Paul's mom, before he lost her, was such a fan. And you know, when he lost her, we even had concerns. But the Blazers were such a love of Paul's. And I think even above and beyond, he loved the Seahawks, clearly, but his first love was the Blazers, and I'm sure that'll be written about a lot, because, you know, people have talked about that. He was just a massive basketball fan, and as witnessed by his participation in pre-draft workouts, he would always show up at Summer League. He would be in the draft room no matter what, and so, man, it was a passion for him. And the city, I think, you know, and this always happens when you lose somebody like this, you look back and you want to remember what you had, but then you kick yourself for maybe not appreciating it like you should when you had it. And I think that's probably the case with Paul Allen.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because, you know, for all the criticism that he did receive at time through fans, there was always this fear, right? And you talked about it there, even inside the organization, of what happens if he something happens to him. What happens if he decides to sell? What happens if he does pass away? He's battled cancer twice. And that should tell you what his role was when there is just that abject fear of what it would be without him. Because I think deep down, people understand, and maybe more so now than ever, just what he meant and the security that he not only gave this team, but the ability to compete. Then in a small market world, Paul was a guy that was willing to spend. And you can criticize the team, you know, for the roster they built, but this is what, the third or fourth highest payroll in the league. And that's because of that man.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And, you know, I mean, you remember the teams, you know, around 2000, you know, when he brought in that team and that had payroll was off the charts for those days. And no, he wanted to win so badly. And I saw a couple of people on social media, you know, were saying it's a shame never got a title for him. But I just think the competition and the day-to-day interaction, and he would come into the locker room at times after games and say a few words to the team, usually about defense. Joel Prisbilla used to always laugh that Paul would come into the locker room and not really be terribly comfortable talking in front of a group of guys, that his closing, he'd clench his fist and always say defense as he would leave the room. I don't know so much as it was a rallying cry for defense or just maybe an awkward something to say at the end of it. But, you know, the players always enjoyed him. You know, Clyde Drexler always had such great things to say about Mr. Allen, and, you know, everybody was close to him. And, you know, I spent some one-on-one time with him, and it was usually on the road way before a game. And he would fly in for a game, and sometimes we'd know he was coming and sometimes we wouldn't. And I remember one particular time, I don't know, a few years ago, we were in New Orleans, and I'm in the arena extremely early, which I always was. And I look over in the corner and he's standing there and he waves me over, and I always knew how to start a conversation, and it never was about basketball. I would immediately say, "What good concert have you seen lately?" And so that would get him fired up, and he would have just come back from Wembley seeing Led Zeppelin or some crazy story about a submarine in Bermuda, and they went down in a submarine with Bono and The Edge. And I mean, it's just these crazy, cool stories, but he loved talking about that stuff as much as he loved talking about basketball. So I did do a lot of interviews with him, and he didn't do a ton of interviews. And I was just thinking back, and actually I was a moment ago before you guys called, I was just flipping through photos. I happened to be at my computer and was looking back through, just wondering if I had any photos of him, which I think, you know, with him that people do and at a time like this. And I've just found a few that one that I went up to Seattle as he was going to make a pitch for an NBA All-Star game. And I got to spend some time with him there. And I think people who were close to him in his world, that he worked with them in business, you know, it seemed like they tended to, and sorry, I'm rambling. I'm just kind of going through in my mind, kind of processing, but they oftentimes wouldn't want to look him square in the face, or they were afraid because Paul had a funny way about him, but he just always wanted to be, you know, treated like a friend. And I would always grip his hand tightly and kind of slap him on the shoulder and look him in the eye and then start a conversation. And he always responded to that. And he was great with Mike Rice as well. And he would always come over and spend time with us when he was in the building, mostly on the road, not very often at home. But you know, I think back at those moments, and not to involve myself in the story, just in terms of my own interactions with him. And it was a few years ago, too. He would always show up for the team picture. And the team picture was always a home game late in the season following all the trades and acquisitions. And I'm sitting there scribbling down game notes, and nobody was in the arena. I mean, it was empty. It was just me. And I was sitting at the press table, and I just sensed this figure lurching over me. And I look up, and it's Paul. And I just said, "What are you doing in here?" And he said, "Well, we got the team picture." And he kind of would laugh. And, you know, you get him one-on-one away from things when he wasn't kind of embarrassed or awkward or lacking confidence. And he was great. And he was such a forward thinker, as everybody's going to talk about. And I can't wait to read all the articles, even as sad as it'll be, revealing how far ahead of the curve this guy was with technology and with sports. What a pioneer and what a legend.
This is Mike Barrett, former Trailblazers broadcaster. Paul Allen has passed away at the age of 65. Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you just from the stuff that I've read and the stuff that I know about him, you know, people that obviously have been around in the market for a while that have dealt with him. He was quite a normal guy and had a lot of passions, but I think you just touched on something that's interesting is maybe there was a bit of a disconnect with the fans in the city, just on a personal level with him, not with his franchise, but with him because he was so private and closed. But all he really wanted was to just talk normally, and no one would really treat him normally because he's Paul Allen.
Well,
he's
weird.
Worth a gajillion dollars, and it freaks people out.
When you listen to guys like Barrett, and we had Quick on before this, talking, you know, personal stories, he was such a small and in some ways kind of like he wasn't in great shape or anything like that. He just kind of looked like a middle-aged normal guy. But I don't know if I've ever been around in all my years someone that had more of a presence. Like when you were in the hallway with him and he came down, there was like a hushed reverence. And then he always had like that Israeli security guard that was always with him. There was always just this sense that he was unapproachable. And I think obviously when you're one of the richest men in the world, it comes with that. And we've talked to enough people, and you're right. In some ways, that probably is a lonely existence. He was not cheated out of life in any way. That man lived a full life, but you're right. I don't know how many people could just be normal with him. He had a presence about him that just lent itself to what you were talking about, kind of that distance.
Well, yeah, and that was my question, Mike, is what made him so private? Was it he just got to be so rich and so well known that it's just like it's really hard to be normal, and that's what caused that? Or is that just part of his, you know, was that part of his DNA?
Probably a combination. I mean, I think but you guys touched on it, you mentioned it too. I think the way that people treat you who are around you, and I think that oftentimes, you know, when you have a security detail and it's telling people to get against the wall when he comes through, I don't know that Paul would have wanted that. You know, I always wondered that when he came down the hall, because my times with him weren't like that. And it wasn't like we were buddies, but I did feel like I knew him a little bit and had enough interactions with him to where he would wave us over and we would have a laugh at times about something basketball related or otherwise. And then I know some other people who knew him. And you know, in fact, it was just a couple months ago, I had the opportunity to spend some time with, I don't know if people know Zorro, the drummer. Zorro is Lenny Kravitz's drummer, who drummed from, he's like the most legendary R&B drummer of all time. And I heard Zorro speak, and then I got to talk to Zorro for a minute after he spoke. And I asked him, he showed some pictures of he and Paul from his, you know, Paul flew him out to the Octopus, the ship, and Zorro talked of these times of they'd go into the studio and they'd jam, and Paul was a good guitar player. He played at a Blazer Christmas party, I think it was a Christmas party years ago at the Art Museum, and I still remember him getting up on stage, and people who haven't seen him don't know how good he was and how passionate he was about music, and he was also a very good guitar player and rock and roll guitar player. And so Zorro was telling me about these times where they would jam, and Zorro doesn't know anything about sports. I mean, he didn't know any, and he said Paul kept leaving the room, and he said he was sensing that he was going in to watch basketball, and finally Zorro went in and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm watching a game," and he said, "I'm watching my team," and so Zorro said, you have a favorite team? He said, "No, I actually own this team," and so there was some laughs about that, but he had that life away from sports to where people who knew him well, like Zorro, they didn't even know he owned a team, but he kind of kept the lives separately. But to see him show up at Madison Square Garden with Dan Aykroyd, or to see Anthony Kiedis come to a game at the arena here, and, you know, he had this inner circle of guys. I know he was close with Bono and The Edge and the U2 guys, and he had so many guys like that in his life. And I think some people at times say, well, it's because he was feeding their foundations or whatever. I don't think it was that. I think those guys really did regard him and were entertained by him and were friends with him. And but he loved the entertainment industry, just actors and musicians, and maybe even more than athletes. But there was a good amount of that as well. And his times with interacting with executives, I'm sure Neil Olshey has his stories. I know Kevin Pritchard always did, Chet Buchanan, the others who were here that I knew well, of times they've get phone calls from Paul watching some game tape about some college guy somewhere they wanted him to take a look at. And he was passionate about the game. I don't know that he wasn't that way about the NFL, but I've heard from those closer to him that he wasn't necessarily like that as much with the NFL. It was the NBA and it was the Blazers, and they were his love.
Yeah, I can just picture him sitting on Octopus in the Caspian Sea, Googling YouTube videos of the next great
Viktor Kryapa. Right. This kid from Russia, we got to get him.
Were you ever on Octopus?
No, I was on the Tatoosh once when it was in town, but I heard a lot of stories about the Octopus, but never was on that.
Well, Mike, thanks for coming on and sharing some good stories and sharing your perspective. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's just it's a shocking day, and it's amazing to think that, you know, Mr. Glickman, the founder of the Blazers, is with us, and I'm happy he's with us, and I'm just shocked that Mr. Allen isn't. Two guys that I've had a lot of interactions with and loved, and it's a tough day. It's really, and for a lot of people, obviously, it's just, I think it's hit everybody with a lot of shock, and your mind starts to go back to memory. So I appreciate getting the chance to kind of process with you guys and talk about it.
No question. Thanks, Mike.
All right, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.